You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
I like landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Atlas wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, 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 well. What do you think?
I think it's super.
You bet, my brother. I am.
What are you trying to do? What are you guys trying to do, Tom? You added another three or four states in there. What's going on? You're expanding.
Well, as you know, Marco Bill, I've been very entrenched in our corporate business, and there's a couple of announcements that I'm going to make tonight. One that happens to be, ladies and gentlemen, when everybody said that, oh, my God, Biscardi is talking out his ass again, there's no way he's going to be able to take a company, a fable, a folklore, a myth, and make it a public entity and take it over the counter. Well, guess what, folks? Yours truly and my corporation has finally made it. Our ticker symbols, ladies and gentlemen, ticker symbol is BGFT. Unheard of in the industry. It means abbreviation for Bigfoot. So by Friday, it looks like we'll be publicly traded over the counter, and our ticker symbol is BGFT, which is unheard of in the stock market industry, because normally they give you some crazy symbol, but apparently FINRA must have liked who we are and what we're doing, and the people are just blowing their minds saying, wow, Tom Biscardi, you did it. Yes, we did it. We went through hell. We paid a lot of trials and tribulations, gone through a lot of money, a lot of heartache, found out how crazy that industry is too. But we dotted our I's, crossed our T's, and we went through the scrutiny of above and beyond, and we finally got our ticker symbol, ladies and gentlemen. By Friday, we'll be a publicly traded, Monday the latest. We're just waiting for our DTC, which was submitted today, but they don't give you a ticker symbol unless you're going to go over the counter, ladies and gentlemen. I am very proud of myself and my team for where we're at, what we've done, because everybody said I was crazy. They still say I'm crazy for what I do for a living, but you know what? There's always a light at the end of the tunnel, ladies and gentlemen. It's been done. So don't ever say to Tom Biscardi and his team that you can't do it, because no matter what hurdle you put in front of us, what door you put in front of us, what wall you put in front of us, we're going to find a way under, over, or around, or go through it one way or another. Remember that song? One way or another. It's a bitchy, 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 bitchy one way. I've been feeling good, folks. I'm coming down off this high ever since we got notified. But it's been remarkable, remarkable. The second announcement, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let everybody know that it's time for me to hang up the spurs. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to pass the baton on to TJ, my oldest son, and to my team members, and two of them who happens to be one that I've grown to love like he's a family member and a brother of mine, Michael Green. And the other one is Tim McMillan. He's like one of my other kids. He started with me when I had Gabbro, okay? He's back with us. He'll be on this expedition with us. But I have bigger things to do, and I'm getting older. Not like I don't like to do what getting out there in the expeditions. I love it, as a matter of fact. Nobody can do it better than I can do it. But it's finally come to the point in time in my life, ladies and gentlemen, that now we've got a publicly traded company. I'm going to concentrate on the building of our museum that we're going to have in Sacramento, in Old Town Sacramento. So those of you who are up there are going through it. It's a destination tourist property. There's three other museums up there. They had I think it was almost 20 million people go to this property up there. They've got the old Dixie and they got the museums, and it looks like yesteryear. And our museum, we're going to have a restaurant. Our museum, it's going to be a Bigfoot museum. It's going to be a Hollywood props. A lot of the, I understand, a lot of the Star Wars stuff. And we're going to have our dinosaurs that were given to us by the Blackfeet Indians up in Montana. So it's going to be the Bigfoot / Hollywood props / dinosaur museum. We're going to have also a place to eat up there, and beautiful balcony outside that you'll be able to watch the people stroll by as you have a sip on a cool one and have a beautiful, delectable. The theme of it, of the restaurant, is going to be called it's under Johnny Depp when he was out there. What was that?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean, yeah. And he'll be, from what I understand, they're setting it up for him to be there on opening day of the restaurant and the museum. So it'll be pandemonium down there. So I'm going to be overseeing that for the next, between now and the end of the year. While our team, while my son and my precious other two fellas that I'm enduring my life's work along with my son, Michael Green, and Tim McMillan. And we're looking for one other special person. And it all depends, but we may have one of my grandsons. So there'll be my father was Carmine Thomas Biscardi Sr. I was junior. My son was the third. His son is the fourth. So there might be three generations of Carmine Thomas Biscardis. We don't know yet. I'm still deliberating on the situation, but we'll see what happens. But that's how it's come down to, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that I'm getting out of the business. The business has been my life. It's been good to me. It's just that I don't have the fortitude. I don't have the strong wits as I did when I was younger in the brush. And you've got to have those abilities. You really have to know that you still have those talents to seek these things out, and you got to be aware of what's going on around you at all times. So I trust in my son. I trust in Tim. I trust in Michael. You know, all of these guys are ex-military. They're all trained in their own fields, and they make up this team du jour, as far as I'm concerned. So yours truly, the godfather of Bigfoot. This is going to be his last expedition, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read it off to you where we're going. And this is just the start, okay? But we're going to be out there at White River, Arizona, with the Apache Nation. We're going to be in Deering, New Hampshire, with Scott Lucas. We're going to be in Coventry, Rhode Island, with Tommy Hand. We're going to be out there with Lou Picciotta of Fort Pierce, Florida. We're going to be out there with Joyce Smith in Funiac, Florida. We're going to be out there with Audrey Faith, Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And, oh, by the way, those of you, we're going to be out there with William Trebell at the museum out there in Middlesboro, Kentucky. They are honoring us and using some of our finds and giving us a space in their museum. And it's going to be the Searching for Bigfoot Tom Biscardi Crew Day. And that's going to be around between the 27th and 28th of July. You might want to mark that on your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. So it's going to be kind of a historic thing. Then we're going to be in Salus, Mississippi. We're going to be in Provo, Utah, up there with Tyler. And we're going to be up in Browning, Montana, with Bruce Schilt, my other brother up there with the Blackfeet. We're going to be up at C.R. Roberts in Tacoma, Washington. And there's going to be a whole lot more, plethora of other states in between. So however long it takes, whether it takes 5-6 weeks, whether it takes 2 months, we will be on my last voyage in looking for one of these creatures, ladies and gentlemen. So I encourage those of you who have never met the godfather of Bigfoot, and you know we're coming to your town because there'll be big hoopla, there'll be press media in every one of those states and cities when we get there, and they're going to be announcing when we're going to get there. So if there's anybody who have any sightings, you'll be our ears, our eyes, our noses, and we will come out and say hi, meet you, and go out to the areas where you think you've had an encounter. This is an official announcement, ladies and gentlemen. This is my last expedition. I will be out there one time or another and assist my son and the crew and team in any which way I can. But I'm going to be handling the corporate business and the museum and the making of the three movies, the big screen movies, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be called Bigfoot 3D. They've already got the scripts done and some high-profile people who have actually signed to do the first one and then the two sequels after that. They're going to do this in the genre of the Marvel Comics. And by the way, I understand the same guy that directed or produced Godzilla 3D is signed on to do our movie. This, of course, is through a different company. And I'm very, very proud to see how we've gone through the minutiae and the wake of so much garbage of the haters, the people who are jealous, the people who said, oh, it's all, he's full of shit, you know, and all the other stuff that goes along with it, all the bunking. But you know what? Those of you who have been with me throughout all of these years, those of you who have been loyal to me and my crew, I would ask of you to don't disjoint yourself and go away when I'm gone, because I'm as close as the phone, as you know, and all I ask is that you give the respect and the loyalty, just continue it on, to my son and the team, because they're just going to carry on this work even better than I did. I want to thank you for the marvelous 45 years that I've been on this quest, and I do believe, as you do, that if anybody's going to bring one of these creatures back, it will be us. This last voyage, this bon voyage of me being out in the woods on expedition, is going to be phenomenal, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to unearth a lot of new things. We're going to announce a lot of fantastic things, including the Patterson film. And we will get to the bottom of that by the end of this expedition, trust me. And I want to thank each and every one of you people around the globe who've supported me, who've been in my corner, who've been there in the time of need when we've been bashed, when we were hurt so much. But you know what? The cream rises to the top. Remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you out there personally know someone who has taken a company, an IPO, over the counter? Just look it up. BGFT. Bigfoot, the abbreviation. That's our ticker symbol. I am so proud of that. You have no idea. Without any further ado, okay, and I want everybody to be joyous as hell, because I can't be any more happier. I've been climbing the walls. I've been crazy as hell. And I just can't wait. From a week from today, we depart when we go out on this last bon voyage, to go out there and hopefully try to find it. Because I'm going to tell you what, guys, I'm going to give it everything I've got in my creaky old bones to come back with something to prove to the world. This is my last expedition. But, man, I'm going to give it everything I've got, and I'm going to go out with a bang. And then I'm going to go out onto new quests of having that museum built for every one of you to see, to continue on our legend, to continue on our legacy, which will be going on, hopefully, for a long, long time. Tommy, are you out there? I want to...
Sure am, Dad.
All right, son. I want to officially pass the baton on to you in front of all of the people around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the new president of Searching for Bigfoot, which is a Bigfoot Projects Investments Incorporated company, which is traded publicly now. BGFT is our symbol ticker. And he, ladies and gentlemen, will be continuing on my legacy with our crew, with people that I trust and have our back, and people who I know will endeavor their lives to go out and do the same thing that we're trying to do, to bring back this evidence that we believe so much in, to prove it to you and the rest of the world. Son, I can't say it anymore how proud I am of you. I can't say it anymore how much or how proud I am of the team, but you know I'm there in spirit. This is the last one for me. We're going to go out with a bang, and as you know, it's going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest expedition that the SFBI crew has ever been on, and the world will know about it because There'll be a media circus wherever we go, and I'm going to invite all of the TV crews, all of the news people, all of the papers, all the radio people, as we've always have. You'll come out, you'll see it as we see it, as we hear it, as it's being done. And then you'll find out for yourself. But this is going to be the biggest expedition that we've ever gone on with our team, and inviting the world. It's exactly what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. TJ, how are you feeling right now?
I'm so high on the planet and up in the clouds. It's wonderful. You know, I think it was since 2011 we've been trying to bring this company to the public in the forefront. And I can't count on all my fingers and toes how many people told us it was impossible. Well, all I can say to them is, guess what? How high is high? Because nothing's impossible when you put your mind to it. And when you're behind it, people tell you no, you become a bulldog. And thank you for the kind words. We're going to get this creature with you, without you, together as a company. It's going to be a wonderful thing.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you. And I want to bring in Michael. Michael, you there?
I'm here.
What do you have to say about this?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a relative newcomer to all this. But when I see how hard you guys have worked to put this company together and to go public with it, I'm pretty darn impressed. And I'm very thankful that you've included me on this team. I'm looking forward to leaving home next week for 6 weeks to 2 months to go out and bag one of these babies.
And that's what I love about you, brother. You know, I haven't mentioned another man that's like my own brother. He's become a family. Rocky, are you out there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, what do you got to say about what's going on now, son?
I just can't tell you how happy I am. You know, I've been with you for some time. I've seen all that you've put out, all that we've done together. We've had the good times. We've had those people that, you know, kind of said one thing and then went with behind our backs and, you know, got with other people. And, you know, we've seen the good, we've seen the bad, and it's all coming around to the good again. I'm so proud of what you've done. I'm kind of blown away.
Well, Rocky, it's when you see it come to fruition, that's the thing, and we work so damn hard, as you know, okay?
I've always had faith in you.
Yeah, and thank you, you always have. And this expedition is going to probably be the largest one ever mounted by anyone in the industry. You know, it'll probably go 2 months. I'm feeling that very strong. I know it'll go six weeks for sure, but probably go the whole duration, because as soon as it hits out there, we're going to be getting calls from all over the nation, especially right after this holiday, this weekend, because everybody's going out barbecuing and camping and what have you, and there'll be a plethora of sightings without a doubt. I have no problem. I'm very proud of us going to be put in this museum. And they're going to have the press all there, and it's going to be Tom Biscardi and Searching for Bigfoot Days, and they're going to have a display there, and they're really going to do over us. And I just can't wait to get out there to Joyce out in her area in Florida, where she's having all this action going on right now.
Well, I'm hoping that I'll be with you when you get out there.
I hope you are, too. There's so much, you know, Tommy Hand up there in Rhode Island, Scott Lucas up in New Hampshire. You have no clue what's been going on up there. This guy has had five people out in that area right now, and five people who have had encounters going on as we're talking, that's been going on for the last 2 weeks. He called, we talked on Monday, and he says to me, Tom, he says, oh, my God, I mean, there's action going on here. I can't wait till you guys get here. He says, I got 100 acres back here. And he says, I just can't do it all on my own. Well, my crew is coming out there, and my boys are going to be there along with me, as you know, okay? And if it's out there, we'll... I like the way my newfound brother, I love the way he talks. We're from the same part of the coast, East Coast. He's a little bag with them son of a bitches. I love him. He's just, he talks like us, Rocky. You know what I'm talking about. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on this next gentleman. I had him on last week. He was with me when I started with GABFRO, the Great American Research Organization. Timmy, you out there?
I'm here.
You know, it's an amazing thing how you got back with me and how you just called out of the blue. I call it a divine intervention. You know, I'm serious because, you know, who would have ever thunk it? Think about that. You know, you started off with me back in 2004. Maybe 2003, I don't remember, and how we started this whole thing under the name of GABFRO, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Great American Bigfoot Resource. And Timmy, how many states did you go with us, Tim?
Oh, probably at least 25 to 30, I would imagine, in all the trips that we went on.
Yeah, 25 to 30, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'll tell you what, this is going to be my Bon Voyage, my last one, and this is going to be kind of like your first one all over again, but it's going to be a giant one.
Beautiful.
It's going to be a great one. Everybody just can't wait. And oh, by the way, A.K. Riley called me today because he got his coat that I sent him. By the way, Mike, did yours come?
Say what?
Your coat.
Not yet. Not yet.
It hasn't come yet. You know, I don't know what's with it. He had cards sent to him a month ago, and he still hasn't gotten. Did you get the cards?
My post office here, I'm doing. They're a little lax because my cards don't come either.
Well, the cards I don't have to worry about because we can get them redone.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, I know.
But the coat I sent UPS, so I know that you'll have it before.
Oh, okay. I'm sure I will. I'm sure I will. They never fail.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the announcement I was making. I was hoping to have our ticker symbol, and we did. So you got two, just like the old Juicy for the Double Mint commercial, two tastes in one. We're over-the-counter. We're a publicly traded company. It's BGFT. Who gets – when does FINRA ever give symbols like that so close associated with the company? And then the other thing – that now I'm going to be strictly doing the museum and the 3D big movies and the back end of it. I'll always be there, and trust me, this last little episode of all these states we're going into, whether it be 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I don't know and I don't care how long it takes, but the world will know, and I'm going to go out, the godfather of Bigfoot's going to go out with a bang, ladies and gentlemen. And hopefully, we may just bag one of these suckers as Michael and Rocky and my son TJ and of course Timmy just said, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, we've strived so hard, ladies and gentlemen. You don't realize what goes into these expeditions. You know, you just say, oh, I'm going there. It's not that simple. Okay.
Yeah.
You've got to route yourself out. It costs thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to do what we're doing here. Okay.
Yeah.
And we got to make sure the safety is number one, and to get the people to cooperate with you. And that's the thing I really want to talk about before I turn this over to Tom and let him talk a little bit about it and the rest of you guys is how our people who have literally embraced us, we come out to their area, they invite us into their humble abodes, into their home. if they've got a little bit of few morsels to eat, they'll invite us to have it and what to drink. And most of the time, we're always taking them out and or eat, they're eating our food or anything. But to show you how humble they are and how they really care and how they believe in what's going on. What can you add on that, TJ, about all the expeditions we've been on and how the people have been so good to us?
Well, you know, for example, tonight I got a call from a gal down in middle of Kentucky. And, you know, I got on the phone, figured out where
to talk. You have to talk closer to the phone, Tom, because you're not coming in too close.
Can you hear me better now?
You're going to have to talk like that, yes.
Okay. So we get a phone call, I think it was Wednesday. A woman that was, you know, had creatures that she feels are going to harm her, and she wants some kind of closure. She wants to know what's going on. So, you know, past couple of days, we've talked a few times, and I mapped it out. And here tonight, we and my son, we went out to your property, see her, set up some bait stations, and assure her that creatures aren't there to harm her because, well, you know, they're not doing that. She's just scared. Found some bedding areas and areas where they're probably going to be, you know, coming up off the Salt River into her property. And, you know, we're going to get back. We're probably going to end up going here this expedition and help her out with a full team and set up a full array of cameras and see what's going on. But, you know, they invite you into their house. They offer you drinks. And we're here to help people. That's what we do. You know, if it's, we don't catch the creature, that's fine. But we're helping people get closure and not fearing the creature, helping them understand what this creature is and it's not going to, you know, harm them, you know?
That's a big plus no matter where we've gone. And, you know, Bobby Schmall's back. I talked to him just recently, and he was recollecting with me, and he says to me, you know, Tom, he says, one of the most happiest times in my life when I've been out with you, and it's been a lot of times, but one that sticks out the most is the time that we get to an area, we don't know these people from Adam, and the next thing you know, they're opening up their bedrooms and saying, here, you know, we want you to stay here. Here's our showers. You know, my wife's going to get up and cook for us and this kind of thing. Where do you see perfect strangers opening their arms up in their houses to you like that, especially in today's time?
Yeah.
Weigh in on that. Will you, Rocky?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Well, you know, Tom, it really amazes me. We go out there, and like you say, we don't know these people. They've always treated us well. Every now and then, you'll run into an odd duck, but mostly, what impresses me is what you've done for them. What you've done for so many people, what you've done for me. I mean, the generosity. You take care of your people. You take care of people, period. You know, I don't think the world at large understands what all you do. I mean, we can talk about those other people, but I think everybody needs to know what you do. And like I said, you take care of people. You take care of your team. You take care of people that you don't know. And you just think that, you know, it's time somebody, you know, informed people that, you know, you're not just another pretty face.
You know what? I've never looked at it that way. Never, ever, ever have looked at it. But you know what?
I look at it that way.
You know, it's I never heard anybody say that about me, except for you or the close ones to me. But to say that on the air, collectively around the globe, you're wrenching at my heart. I got to tell you something. It's something that you don't hear today. But I guess it must be true because it's coming out of your mouth. And anything that's coming out of your mouth has been gospel as far as I'm concerned. And thank you.
Well, you know, you're my friend, all of you. You know, I've made so many friends. So I was a man that had a friend before I ran onto y'all. Now I'm a man with friends, numerous friends. I still got the Swede, but, you know, I've got, y'all are like family to me. And it's because of, you know, I see how you are. I see how this all works. And, you know, it's not just a bunch of old boys walking around, kicking around out in the woods. It's, I'm amazed whenever I watch what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, you know, it's, and again, you have to be there to experience it and see it. It's just like Michael. He's the new kid on the block with us. But I respect him because we talk the same story. And we're kind of like from the old school bracket. And he knows reality and he knows the truth. And that's the reason why I think that he had a shocking experience by meeting us, because here's a guy that was with the opposition, i.e. BFRO, and the next thing you find out, he does meet me and meets the crew, and the next thing you find out, wow, man, everything that they said about this guy is total bullshit. Let's bring Michael in now. Let's hear what he has to weigh in on this story. Michael?
Everything they said was total bullshit. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. It's true. And it's funny how, well, it's not funny, but it's odd how rumors get started and they get entrenched in everybody, and pretty soon it becomes the truth. And nobody takes the time to, and I include myself there, unfortunately, takes the time to look behind what they hear. But when I did, I tell you, I found something completely different than what I guess, been led to expect. And I couldn't be more pleased. I really couldn't. This is, you don't find a group of people. This is, let me backtrack. We are in an extremely odd business. There's no way about it. This is a very, very strange hobby or obsession that we've got. And there aren't very many of us that really have our heads wrapped on too tight. And I'm glad to say that I do, and it seems to me that you guys do too. So many of the people I've met before are just in la-la land about this thing. They treat Bigfoot like he's from Mars or another dimension or this or that. It's not. It's a big half-man, half-ape kind of creature that's very smart and has been living in the woods around here for tens of thousands of years. Nothing more, nothing less. And people will say, well, I'm an expert on this subject. Well, there's no such thing, and I include myself, as an expert on the subject of Bigfoot, because nobody is an expert. Some of us have been around at it longer than others, but but their guess is as good as mine, except when you start talking about creatures from other dimensions. And then I draw the line. And I'm really glad to meet a number of people here who seem to think like I do and have the same goal in mind, and I am very much looking forward to this first expedition.
As well as we all are as we continue on to do that. Now, here's the big question. As you've been led to believe, along with the rest of these clowns, and after you got to hear my story, our story, seen our movie, and got to see the people behind the scenes in the Roger Patterson filming with his cohort in crime, Mr. Bob Gimlin, what do you have to say about that?
I'll tell you, like you, when I first saw the Patterson film, I was blown away. I mean, you can't not be blown away when you watch it. And to find out through research, there's always, I mean, when you come to a subject like Bigfoot, you are drawn, it's like flies to dead meat, when you to all these fakers. And to say that the Patterson film is a fake, it's almost sacrilegious. But the more I look at it, And the more I look at the background of Patterson, and the more I read all the books and meet Philip Morris, who made the costume, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the more I got to say, I'm sorry to say it, but I think it's a fake. I think it's a fake. And I'll tell you, I just finished reading a book called When Roger Met Patty. And this is a guy by Bill Munns, who's supposedly an expert on creatures and creating film animals and this sort of stuff. Very bright guy and a very interesting book. But having said that, and believe me, I would love it if the film was real, and I think we all would. But having read his book on top of all the other books, he did not convince me that that film was real. And boy, he did his best. But when you take a look at his examination of the film, and he looks at it from a professional point of view, looking at the film itself, not necessarily the people behind it, his explanations of the way the creature moves and his defense of it being real, I don't buy. I just can't buy it. His explanations, it's kind of like he's wishing it would be real, and I just can't get into it.
You know, Michael, I got to tell you something. I think I can sum this up just as well as you can, even though we never talked about this when we first met, because we learned about it later on. But mm-hmm. there are two little ditties which Leroy Blevins had uncovered. Thank God that he recorded these ditties on radio interviews that Bob Gimlin had given. One happened to be when the radio personality asked Mr. Gimlin, and says, you've had some kind of experience working a camera, haven't you? And he says, heck no, I don't even know how to turn the damn thing on. He says, oh, okay. Well, how many people were out there when Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin went out looking for this creature? How many were out there, Michael?
Three, maybe more.
How many?
Three, maybe more.
No. How many does the world conceive from the story that was told?
Okay. You're talking about what the world thinks of it, not the reality.
Yeah. How many
the world thinks there's two people.
Right?
Two people, right.
Okay. So as the commentator, the radio personality, listen to this closely, ladies and gentlemen, says to Mr. Gimlin, well, you must have had some kind of camera experience, huh? And he says, oh, no. Are you kidding me? I know how to work with horses, and I brought some stuff up to help Roger, but I don't even know how to turn the darn things on. So then he makes a comment to him, says, well, if you and Roger were the only two people there, who filmed Roger when the horse reared up when supposedly they saw the creature? Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that. How long did it take you to say, oh, shit, they're right? If there's just two of them there, Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, and Bob Gimlin doesn't know how to operate a camera, who took the picture of the horse that Roger Patterson was on when it reared up, supposedly, and it got stirred by this giant creature walking in that on that sand?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, when he asks that question, it goes blank. Apparently somebody hung up, ladies and gentlemen. We have one of those recordings. Just a little food for thought, folks. And we're going to be talking about this on the entire expedition over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks. So look out. We're coming. Timmy, talk to me. What did you enjoy the best on all the expeditions, whether it be 20 or 25? Which one did just thrill the hell out of you?
It's got to be Texas. It's got to be Paris, Texas.
When I saw the holes that they were digging, I remember I was like one of the first people on that site when there was no human prints anywhere around. There was a rectangular hole in the ground, which I thought was very interesting. It wasn't even round. And there were prints from an adolescent and a grown-up Bigfoot there, and that just amazed me. And they were digging those clams out of there, the largest freshwater clams I'd ever seen in my life, that were 7 inches across and 3 inches thick and 3.5 inches wide. I'd never seen anything like that. And they knew where to go to harvest these clams. And then when your son was chasing after that thing in the middle of the night, and there was these rotted off oak trees that were spears, and if you fall, you impale yourself on these, and they were littered all over this place, and Tommy takes off after that creature, and then that creature stops on that knoll, and we're looking through night vision at him, and he stops and looks back at us, and I'm all, whoa, that's pretty interesting.
You know that what? Let me stop you right there, because I remember it like it was yesterday, folks.
Oh, my God.
Now, you got to understand, this is my firstborn. Now, he doesn't have no sense. He's, you know, here's a guy that, airborne ranger, just coming out of the service. He didn't give a shit. You know, these guys, they eat nails for breakfast and shit them out for lunch. And he's out there chasing this goddamn thing in this marsh, in this water. Without any further ado, let's bring TJ out there. You tell the story
from
your own voice.
Well, let's tell them why I was being stupid. Because I didn't believe it was Bigfoot. I thought it was a guy in a monkey suit. And I was you all wrong. Remember that?
Yep.
And I thought it was bring this little mask to you guys and go, look, you've been Scooby-Dooby-Dude. But we all know what happened, you know. That's why I didn't run out there with anything in my hands or anything, because I figured it was just a man. And I ain't afraid of no man.
Nope.
I realized, wait a minute, it stopped. It wasn't having an issue getting through the muck that I was. And then I realized, oh, my God, this is an animal. I'm in trouble. And that's when I looked back at you, because I wanted to know how far I had to run back to get to you if I needed you. But I'll never forget that day.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
What was the other thing that you said when you did come back later on that night to me, son?
Oh, well, I think I said something to the effect of, I'm sorry, I thought you were a kook, and I know you're not. Now let's go catch this thing for real.
Ladies and
yeah.
gentlemen, that's a true story. And how many years ago did that happen?
Well, that was June 17th, 2006.
Okay. 9 years ago. No, 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yes, 10 years ago. Unbelievable, folks. You heard it first here, and you heard my son talk about it. You heard of Tim. Tim.
Yep. Yes, sir.
It's my mind, son, to see how what you've done is how you guys, we went off into three different, when you went to surveil that area, I'll never forget it. And one was coming back that they had prints over there in the north point, the prints that you guys had found. God, how many were there?
Oh, my word. There had to have been 75 prints, 80 prints there, more.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you had to see this to believe it. It was just unbelievable. You know, we put that town on the map.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. The Monkey Man came out there, and Craig Woolheater's team came out there. You know, they got all these famous names and conservation, Texas conservation thing, or whatever the hell they call it. And I even think that Michael, your ex-compadre's people were out there, too. I don't know. Well, let me put it to you this way. Why don't you tell the story, Michael, about what was your expedition like when you went out with BFRO? Not us, but with them. Tell everybody around the globe what it was like.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been squatching for a number of years by myself, and it gets a little lonely. You want people to talk to that have similar interests. So I looked up the BFRO and looked from afar. It looked kind of interesting. And so I joined, and I started going on trips. And if you go on two trips and pay your, whatever it was, $300 a whack, if you go on two trips, that qualifies you to become an investigator. And then you can go on the rest of the trips for free. Well, now so many people have gone on two trips and become, you got more investigators than you do paying people. So they had to change the rules on that. But anyway, back then, I pretty soon realized that, in all fairness, it's if you're running an expedition to try and find Bigfoot, it's almost no matter who runs it, it's a tough road. However, if you got 20 or 30 or 40 people with little red headlamps walking down some road or trail in the middle of the night all together, the chances that you see anything bigger than a squirrel are slim to none. It was ridiculous. And time and time again, this is what we do, or we'd all jump in cars and we'd drive in a caravan of 40 cars. We'd drive in a caravan for half an hour, and then we'd pull over, and Matt would get out and make some whoops, and we'd all listen, and nothing would happen. And then sometimes we'd give a knock. And in all fairness, once in a while in the distance, you'd hear a knock, or something was whacking something in the distance. But once again, okay, you heard a knock. Big deal. Okay, take that home and prove it to somebody. Or even you heard a coyote in the distance. It proves absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Walking around, over and over and over again in the, I don't know, 5 or 6 years I was with them, we never found anything. And I very shortly realized that this was more an exercise in collecting money. But at the same time, in all candor, I became friends with Mac Moneymaker. At the time, he was a fairly likable guy. So he and I would sit back and watch these people running around with the little red lights on and kind of laugh and make fun of them, not to their faces, of course. And then while they were out in the woods, he and I would jump in the rental car and drive into town and have dinner. And then we'd come back, and everybody's sitting around the fire and one thing and another. Basically, it became a way to get away from home for a few days and have some fun and hang out with Matt and sit around the fire and go out to dinner. And that was it. It wasn't squatching. Later on, when I got the squeaky thermal video down in the Uwari National Forest, this is a whole nother long story. And I took it to Matt because I didn't know who else to take it to, and he was really glad to get it. And then he put it on the front page of the BFRO website and said, if you want to see this thermal video, go to Mike Green's website, and for a couple of bucks you can watch it. And this was his suggestion. I thought it was pretty good. So I set up a website. And people started coming, and we signed an agreement drawn up by attorneys on what the conditions would be. He would have 10 or 15 seconds clip of it. Anyway, on clip of it on the BFRO site for people to sort of as a teaser, a preview. So this went on for a couple of months, and then somebody called me up and said, hey, Mike, have you seen the BFRO site lately? And I said, no. And I went, and there, instead of referring people over for me or $2 and said, you can pay $2 and see it on Mike Green's website, or you can come here on BFRO site and see the whole thing for free.
Shit.
Whoa, where did this come from? Excuse me. Anyway, I lit into Matt, and he dropped the whole thing. And never gave me a good explanation. This is a guy I thought was a friend of mine, a confidant both ways, who would just turn around and stuck it to me really great for no reason whatsoever, except it's, I can only think, jealousy, and it sort of somehow glommed some of the fame, if you will, for himself. Anyway, that's my experience with the BFRO, and it's one of the reasons I wrote the book, Sasquatch for Sale, which details that whole episode and a whole number of other really unsavory Matt Moneymaker episodes, which are all very well documented in my book.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to do a little PS to that. This book,
will keep you at the edge of your chair, or you won't go to bed until you finish the book, because it gets deeper and deeper by chapter by chapter. And especially if you're into the Bigfoot industry and you get to know some of these people. Well, Michael has gone to the depths of really calling a spade, and he doesn't hold back at all. He's kind of like me, okay? And, you know, I'd like to put either let's just put this to rest or let's out it right now. I've heard throughout the last 10 years, actually, but more so in the last six, that Matt Moneymaker and some of his crew they're druggies. They're downright, they go out and they get stoned when they're out there. Is that any truth to that, Michael?
Let me put it this way. I don't want to get sued, so I'm not going to comment on that one way or another. But let me put it very clearly. I don't want to get sued. Get it? So I'm not going to comment.
Well, here's something that you can never get sued by. Remember, it's all hearsay, all right? And everybody has their own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever sat down and did a line or smoked a joint with Mac?
Sure.
At any time while you were on expedition?
By all means.
Okay. Yes. You answered my question.
Yes.
Ladies
by all
gentlemen, means. I got to tell you, that's the price you pay in what you do to in this industry. And I can honestly and truly tell you, and those of you who've been with me, there's three things that I frown on, okay? I frown on drugs, I frown on booze, and I frown on anybody carrying a gun that's behind me if I'm taking the point. Because if I don't know you, and I know that something's going to go bump in the night, I sure as hell don't want to be in front of you, because you're going to go crazy as hell. You got a comment on that, Mr. Rocky?
I won't hear you.
But you agree with me.
Well, you know, I'm the same way. I get nervous about around people with firearms if I can't keep an eye on them, or if I don't know that I can trust them. If I can't trust them, I want them walking in front.
I've been there many times, and a lot of people, and even in Texas, ladies and gentlemen, we had five groups of guys who had gone out there. They came loaded for bear. And I mean, my God, street sweepers, AK-47s, and automatic 45s. And I'm thinking to myself, are we going to battle here? What's going on? And I just let them know straight out in front, you know, because we used to give those classes. Remember that, Tim? Back at the hotel in the conference room? There'd be 25 people there. And I said, here, this is called a safety course, folks. Everybody's got a team leader, and you follow your team leader, and this is what's going to take place. Do you remember that, Tommy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. And you remember that one guy we were in the woods with up in, I want to say, Oregon or Washington? Just started shooting at something in the middle of the night, not even knowing what he was shooting at. That guy.
Yeah, I do. You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, another night, and we're coming to the close. I want to thank each and every one that can hear my voice around the globe for your support, for your interest in what we've done. We're just getting better and getting bigger. Again, our ticker symbol is BGFT, abbreviation for Bigfoot. Unheard of in the stock industry today that Fender gives some kind of ticker symbol that's related to what you do for a living. We'll be going over the county here probably by Friday or Monday or Tuesday, the latest of next week. I feel very proud of what we've done. I've passed on the baton to my son and the team. Here on out, I'm going to be taking care of the museum and the big screen movies and the back end of the thing, but I'll be there all the time. But this is the last Bon Voyage expedition for me. We're going out to 12, 15 states. We'll be out probably 6 to 8 weeks, even longer, whatever it takes. And it's going to be the biggest and best ever. stay tuned, because next week we leave a week from today. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.